Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures, celebrating the Aliento Tequila photo exhibit with a tequila tasting and other entertainment, November 8th, 6 to 9 p.m. Ticket info and more at texancultures.com.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The San Antonio International Airport is seeing record-breaking numbers of passengers arriving and departing, but will it soon outgrow its facilities? And what investments are needed now to keep up with future growth demand? What facility features would you like to see installed at the airport? What other opportunities does the San Antonio Airport have to increase passenger growth and improve the airport experience? We invite you to call in as we have this conversation. The number is 210-614-8980. And you can also email your questions and comments to the source at tpr.org. We're joined with Russ Handy. He is the aviation director for the City of San Antonio Aviation Department. Russ, welcome back to the source.
Thank you, David.
And Saeed Madid. He is the chief strategist and development officer for the San Antonio International Airport. And Saeed, welcome back.
Thank you.
So, Russ, why are we having this conversation?
Well, as you mentioned, we are in the strategic planning mode at the airport system right now. We are part of a very rapidly growing community, and a large percentage of those folks are part of the traveling public. Our business is expanding, our travel and tourism business is expanding, and so the airport needs to be ready for that and to be a driver of prosperity for the region.
And what's on the table?
So I think it's maybe helpful to look back a couple of years to when we spoke about this last. The community had been in a discussion, as you know, for many years about the future of the airport system and whether or not our current airport site could accommodate the future growth of this fast-growing city, or whether we need to start examining another airport site. And that was a conversation that had been going on for a while when I arrived in the city. But it hadn't really been looked at using a data-driven analysis. And so that's where the strategic plan comes in. We instituted a two-phase plan. The first phase, which we've completed, did examine that question, the capacity of the airport system, how large that airport system could grow in its current site, and whether or not that could accommodate the future of the city. And the conclusion, using that data-driven approach and endorsed by a committee that the mayor appointed, the Airport System Development Committee, was that this site could accommodate that growth. And so now we're in the fun part, phase two of our planning process, where we are examining alternatives and what really will that look like for the next 10, 20, 30 years.
So, Syed, tell me about the capacity right now. How well is the airport being used, and are we at capacity?
The airport is currently not at capacity. We've got plenty of capacity. We have two commercial use runways and a GA runway. And between the three runways, we are able to accommodate the capacity growth, the operations for the next another 15, 20 years. There are modifications that we need to do to our current airfield configuration. We'll have to add some high-speed exit run taxiways and upgrade other systems. And after that, we'd be able to accommodate whatever we have. However, 20 years and beyond, yes, we will have to look at what other additional facilities we'll have to add to the airport facilities and the airfield in order to then accommodate further growth. That's on the airfield. Looking at the terminal, there are certain constraints that we have on the terminal, and we are continuously examining how do we expand our terminal facilities.
Right. So San Antonio Airport, the land where it's at right now was acquired by Mari Maverick when he was mayor of San Antonio in 1937. And then World War II broke out, and that area was used as what was called Alamo Field. It was used by the military for training. And it wasn't until 1949 under Mayor Jack White that we actually christened it as an actual airport and began to use it as a municipal field. So that's a long time ago. You do got to credit Mari Maverick for having the foresight to go out there and acquire that land back when it was nothing. He took some political heat for that at the time. But, you know, it's a well-situated place, Russ Handy.
Absolutely. In fact, as we went through the phase one of our planning process, that was overwhelmingly the feedback that we got from the community. And we had upwards of 25,000 interactions with community members, both face-to-face and virtually through that process. In fact, community involvement is probably the most important aspect of the planning process and a big part of why we're here today. But the overwhelming piece of feedback was that is a strategic asset for the city, that we've got an airport, much like Reagan National is to DC, in the middle of downtown, and we need to ensure that we make best use of that geography for as long as we possibly can. That was especially true to the people who operate businesses that are in very close proximity to the airport.
So I don't need a $75 cab ride to get, or ride share to get from the airport to downtown. It's pretty reasonable.
Well, exactly. And there's a number of different ways you can get to and from downtown in addition to taxis, and a lot of ground transportation options. And the city's examining even better ways in the future as part of Connect SA on how to improve that. We'll include that as part of our planning process as well. And you have to examine if you make it inconvenient to get to your airport, if it's 20, 30, 40 minutes away, then folks might start to examine other options and traveling out of another airport.
Let's go to a caller. Number is 210-614-8980, and Ricardo is on the line. Ricardo, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi there. Thank you for having me. As an Uber Lyft driver, I have seen that there's times where there's a lot of arrivals, and it's very difficult to either, A, drop off people there, or more so when we're picking them up. It's almost dangerous because we're trying to find spaces where to pick up the people that are flying in. I've driven in other cities, and I've seen that they actually pick up people in where there's the long-distance parking lot, and that really would help out in taking a lot of that chaos of picking up people at the San Antonio airport. I've noticed that difference between San Antonio and other cities that I've driven at.
Okay, Ricardo, thank you so much. There's a lot to talk about, and we'll get to all that. So, Russ Handy, how is the situation with pickup and drop-offs with rideshare?
Ricardo, thank you for that comment, and you're exactly right. And what we're seeing now is the rideshare industry is really a victim of their amazing success, and so to be congratulated as to how rapidly the business is growing. And so, as you know, we've relocated the queuing lot to a larger lot, and it's already at capacity, and we're examining options in the near future on how we might accommodate that. And we've tripled the curb space on that outer curb. We have to date attempted to maintain that position because, frankly, a lot of those other airports, although it may be more convenient in that area, they receive a lot of negative feedback from customers and from rideshare drivers about having to travel that additional distance and the impact that that has on their business. One of the areas of feedback that we receive in a positive light is how close to the terminal it is and how convenient and quick. And so we're always balancing that, and we'll include you and your other drivers in that conversation as we move forward. But you're right, your business is expanding rapidly, and we need to accommodate it.
So this may not be an actual hard infrastructure solution, but more in getting people to understand what are the do's and don'ts for getting in and out of a rideshare quickly.
And I know that, and as you know, probably better than I do, Ricardo, the other thing that the rideshare industry is doing is looking at better ways of integrating technology, partnering with airlines to make it even more efficient so that the car doesn't have to stay, you know, on the curb for very long at all, tracking the passengers and precisely when they need that ride.
And so you mentioned that, it was the old cell phone waiting lot. That's been now readapted to help the rideshare, right?
Correct. And the cell phone lot was relocated to a lot directly adjacent to our new gas station, convenience store, and fast food. And we also worked out a partnership with the owner of that facility and it's quite unique. Normally, you have to stay with your vehicle at an airport in a cell phone lot. We allow drivers to be able to lock and leave their car and visit the facility to either get a snack or buy a drink. And they can do that for up to 30 minutes. There's a flight information display both on the lot and in the store. And that's become a very successful partnership. And it's really encouraged more people to use the cell phone lot for that purpose, as opposed to trying to stay on the curb for an extended period.
Okay, so help me through this, because I get to the airport and I just get overwhelmed. I don't know where I'm doing. So if I have to wait with the cell phone and I'm waiting for someone I'm going to pick up to call me or text me that they've landed, I can go to where the gas station is that's right now on the corner, right on that leads up to Loop 410, and they have an area where I can park?
Yes. In fact, the current cell phone lot is directly adjacent to that gas station. So you can leave your car for a limited period of time if, you know, the arrival time is, you know, 10 or 20 or 30 minutes away, and you can visit that gas station while you're parked in the cell phone lot.
So, Syed, can you tell me about what kind of feedback do you get from people who use our airport? Particularly, do we have a way to compare it to the experiences at other airports?
Indeed. There are various feedback mechanisms that we employ at our airport. We run quite a few surveys. We have the ASQ survey that is run and managed by Airports Council International, the North American chapter, as well as worldwide. In addition to that, we collect surveys and feedback from our ambassadors. And we've got customers who are happy with what we have for now. They do ask us that they need additional facilities. Most common thing customers do ask for is there a place to eat on the air, on the land side, that is after pass security or before they get through security. So things like those, and we are constantly improving and working on improving those services.
Yeah, a lot of people want to know where they can get a Chick-fil-A when they get to go to the airport, you know, but that's a different story. We won't get into that. But you have more customers than just the passengers, because the airlines are customers as well, right?
Indeed.
And how are they telling? What are they telling you?
Airlines as well, when they talk to us, they want efficient services at the airport. They talk about gates, how gate utilization, and as well as they look at...
So what are their expectations? They want to be able to fly in and fly out effectively, efficiently, not spend a lot of downtime, make sure their customers are comfortable and we're able to board and deplane effectively, right? Those are and then they want to make sure that the air traffic controller is, you know, on top of things, right?
Indeed.
Are those the main things?
They are the main things. But when it comes to the air traffic controllers, that's not under our control, so that's beyond us.
Okay.
However, within the terminal, we are working with various organizations and companies to see how we can enhance and improve the customer experience and the passenger flow so that they are not waiting and queuing up at certain facilities or certain points.
And Russ Handy, what do the airport airliners tell you?
Our airline companies are very satisfied. You know, we have a variety of different carriers, really kind of something for everyone, from the ultra first class experience to ultra low cost, which is healthy for the industry. It provides a variety of options for people, you know, of different travel habits, and it also provides downward competitive pricing effects. And so we are actually in the middle of an airline lease negotiation. We sign very long-term leases with our airlines so that they can have some surety on the fees and charges and the methodology associated with that. And we're completing that to sign a new agreement next year. And so I think we've got a very pleased group of airlines. And in fact, they are demonstrating that by their business. They are growing. In fact, the growth numbers that our current airlines have shared with us just recently are significantly higher. So it's not only a good place to travel, but it's a very strong market for the airlines right now.
Are they thinking, you know, long-term future for this airport, and are they communicating anything?
They are. In fact, they're signaling that with the growth numbers, and we're in conversations with other airlines that are not serving San Antonio to date, who are very, very interested. So the country is watching San Antonio. We've had over 20% growth in the past 3 years, very, very strong growth numbers. We expect that growth to continue, and the airlines are answering that call with service. And we have a very robust air service development plan that's looking not only at retaining the routes that we've got, but growing routes. And we feel we've got a number of new opportunities in the next couple of years to grow additional routes.
So we kept seeing all these record-breaking numbers coming from the airport. What was driving that?
So I think a couple of things. When we spoke a couple of years ago, I gave you a pretty long list of routes that we felt that we had a very strong market for, that we were competing for. And a number of those routes have been added by airlines. The airlines have added a lot of additional capacity. You know, part of it is just we're in a growing community. The community is growing very rapidly. We expect another 1 million people in the next 20 years. But we also put a renewed effort with a strategic plan for air service development in place. And I believe that discipline plan and the work that we had done with the airlines has also caused that growth curve to increase dramatically.
So our airport is growing. How long before it grows too big for its britches? We need new facilities or expansion or a new airport. We hear that the city has determined that the current airport location is fine for now, but who knows what about in 20, 30, 40 years? You have to think in those terms when you run a city. The number to call in if you got a question or comment, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. 800-380. We want to hear your thoughts and your experiences about the airport, and if you've gone to other airports, what have you seen some good ideas that you think we should adopt here? Call in 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this.
Immigration.
I think we need to all get in before the wall goes up.
Health.
The Promotora, they have all the resources that can get them the help that they need.
Art.
There's this kind of subversiveness to it, right?
We cover all these topics and more on Fronteras as we examine issues along the border and beyond. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras where you find your favorite podcasts.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The San Antonio International Airport is going gangbusters right now. In the future, though, it may be doing too well, and there has to be an upgrade to the facilities, maybe even new facilities. What do you want to see there? They're asking the community to weigh in an input series. You can call in. The number is 210-614-8980. This is a voicemail that we got from Mike.
Mike, the city of San Antonio needs to keep the airport where it is. It's a convenient location and doesn't need expansion because of the lack of use right now. I mean, there's times in during the day where there's virtually no airplanes coming in or going out. So I don't think they need to be moving it. What they can do is do like Austin and have more direct flights in and out, and have a campaign to show all the country or all the patrons that airport is a good value for coming in because of the location.
All right, Mike, thank you for that voicemail. Russ Handy's with us, aviation director for the City of San Antonio Aviation Department. How good of a deal is it at our airport? I hear some people say if you drive up to Austin, you could save quite a bit of money.
Well, and I first want to thank Mike for the comment about the airport location, because not only have we heard that from a lot of customers, the data from our planning process really has supported that conclusion that we'll keep it there. And we work very aggressively with a strategic plan for air service development to increase the nonstop flights. We spend a lot of time working with our airline partners. The reality is it needs to be a market-based decision. Airlines will add nonstop flights if they're profitable, and they have quite a bit in the past 3 years, in fact, and we're working on a few other markets that we know are unserved that could make a good market-based decision. The value is it's interesting question, because we track that very carefully, and we look at our other benchmark airports and compare. As I mentioned earlier, because we do have a very diverse set of airlines, all the way from our normal legacy carriers to the ultra low cost carriers, we have seen that drive a downward pressure on the prices. So I think when I came on board a few years ago, we had somewhere in the $10 to $15 a ticket over the average disadvantage over Austin, and we're almost equal now. We're down to less than a dollar difference in price. And so we've seen, we also track who flies out of what airport. We've also seen an increasing percentage of the region travel out of San Antonio, and we feel that's a big part of it.
I'm going to go to a caller, and on the board, the number is 210-614-8980 with Frank. Frank, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello. I don't know if it'd be appropriate to talk about the transportation time from the airport to the convention. I knew some people that worked on planning conventions, and they said that that did affect a convention that we used to have here a lot. They said the time, they were concerned about gridlock on 281 and Broadway, where speakers couldn't get to the convention center in time.
Okay. Frank, thank you for that. Russ Handy, any thoughts?
So I think I'll say two things about the transit time. One is you're right. The traffic on 281, traffic on Broadway has increased, and you hear our city through Connect SA program talking a lot about that and how to improve that in the long run. And I'm working very carefully with VIA Transit on the potential integration of future routes into their higher speed system. On the one hand. On the other hand, one of the most positive pieces of feedback we get is how close we are to our convention center. So relative to other cities, we still have a competitive advantage. But you're right, the traffic is increasing. And as we work our way through our master plan, a big part of that is going to be how do we integrate at the airport with the multimodal system.
And Syed, any idea how long that trip takes?
It really depends. If you're talking during peak time, then we are looking at 15 to 20 minutes. And off peak, we should say at least 5 to 8 minutes.
So I'm just kind of like going, you know, it takes to get to Midtown to JFK, that's an hour and a half, you know. That's you know, a big difference. So I'm just trying to figure out, like, how does that become a barrier? So I don't know. But let's go to another caller. Let's go to Graham. Graham, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead, Graham.
Hi, I have a question about residential impact. You know, I lived in an area that was really affected by the approach trajectory from the incoming planes. I could practically high-five the pilots as they came in. Expanding the airport likely would make that problem much worse through all hours of the night.
All right, Graham, thank you for that. So I guess that is also something that you have to consider. The fact that we have this convenient airport, we have a city that grew up around it, and some of these are neighborhoods.
Exactly. And so the short answer is the environmental impact of any expansion is an integral part of a strategic planning process and will be an integral part of the FAA-approved master plan that will result out of that. The FAA has taken a huge partnership role in noise mitigation through their grants to the Residential Acoustical Treatment Program. But that said, you're right. If a community grows and the air traffic grows, there's going to be more air traffic over those centers of population. So as I said, for example, if a new runway is proposed in the future, a big part of that will be the environmental impact, the noise impact, and it's not uncommon for there to be resources allocated to mitigate that through a similar program to the RATP.
So I got an email from John. It says the city of San Antonio needs to determine the health risk before expanding the use of the airport and how this will integrate into existing land use. Exhaust from jet planes are inhaled by those around the airport. The health risk to children and elderly include asthma and breathing problems during takeoff. Cargo planes and larger jet planes produce higher noise than would be that could produce hearing damage. So the thing about the air quality, is that a concern, Russ Handy?
So I think any city that has an increasing population attracts air quality issues. The majority of those that you hear discussion about have to do with ground transportation, quite frankly. And so although that will certainly be a part of the environmental impact statement or environmental analysis that we do, we're also looking at the other piece of that you see most immediately, and that is the ground vehicles. One of the things that we were doing through a grant partnership with the federal government is we're installing electrical charging stations out on the flight line so that ultimately our airline partners will transition all of those vehicles, and there are many, that service aircraft such as tow vehicles and servicing vehicles to electrified. And we're looking for opportunities there as well.
Okay, back to the phones, 210-614-8980 with Nico. Nico, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Quickly, I've discussed with my elected officials time and time again. It seems to me that we need to look beyond the fact that getting an airline to have more direct flights, and I think of Delta Airlines, if you look across their hubs at the other cities, weather's a big factor when it comes to delays, and we're not going to compete against American or Southwest out of Dallas or Houston with United. I don't see why there is any more lobby efforts to bring in someone like Delta and sell them on the fact that we have better weather than Seattle, Minneapolis, Detroit, and obviously, you know, they're in Los Angeles and Atlanta. It just seems to me that we could have a really good role if we were to take a big stab at lobbying Delta to come in here. And obviously Austin has JetBlue and their other airlines. And thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for that. So, Syed, if we became a hub, that would be a game changer for San Antonio and the airport. First of all, could the airport that we have now handle being a hub?
At this stage, we'll have to make some modifications, add some additional facilities to our airport and our terminal to accommodate a growth like the proposed growth by NECO. We will have to have a dedicated terminal like some airports do have for just creating a hub where they have their own operation. And are we ready for that? Yes, we will be incorporating that into our strategic development plan should there be a need and a demand for that. But at this point, we still haven't established if any of the airlines are proposing to have a hub. And if not, then if they do, yes, we'll have to then accommodate that into our plans.
But Nico, I will tell you, you know, I'm on your team. We mentioned what you said, the strategic advantage of the weather here in San Antonio to our airline partners every time we speak to them. In fact, we take a lot of divert traffic from Houston and Dallas. And so that's a big part of our business because, as you know, they get hit by storms quite often. So that is a part of the conversation. However, they have invested heavily in those other hubs. And so there isn't current interest, but it's something that as we look at retaining the flexibility for that in our longer term plans that we need to keep on our scope.
So that means if we were to convince a major airliner to relocate their A hub to San Antonio, it would require significant public-private dollars in order to make that happen, right?
Well, it would require a financial feasibility, whatever that form that might take. And there's a variety of ways that you do that. I mean, we have historically in our expansion funded it with traditional debt service and funded that out of our enterprise fund that also associated with federal grants. A big part of the airfield modification would be federal grant dollars. They would have to be eligible and approved by the FAA. So they're a big part of that
conversation. And that's not really happened as much as it used to.
Actually, we've done quite well with the airfield improvement program. It's grown every year over the past few years. And so we every program in my tenure that we've submitted as an eligible project has been grant funded by the FAA. So we're happy about that. But again, they have to see the demand. It's not if you build it, they will come sort of arrangement. You have to have a commitment from an airline for that kind of growth before you can justify the cost.
All right. And let's go to Kathleen on the phones. Kathleen, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. This is a very practical question. We have a very early morning flight out of San Antonio International and going to Vancouver, and we wanted to know if there are any food services available at 4 a.m. in the morning at the airport.
And thank you for that, Kathleen. So first, I want to know if Starbucks is going to be pumping out the Java, you know?
Yes. So part of our contract, Kathleen, with all of our food and beverage is that they are open before each flight and then stay open until the last departure. And in fact, they have a dynamic schedule. If we have delays, they will also remain open for longer. So yes, they are the food concessions for the most part. Will be open in advance of your flight.
So TSA starts at what time?
So
it's like at 5 a.m., right?
I believe we're at 4:30 now, and it depends on the traffic and the schedules. During holiday peak times, they also increase their hours and open up earlier.
All right. Okay, so we're going to take a break. We've got some more calls and questions about San Antonio International Airport. The number is 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the San Antonio International Airport, getting folks in and out of San Antonio on time, airlines happy with the facilities as well. And people also want to know about the food options at the airport and how that is going. So Russ Handy, Aviation Director for the City of San Antonio Aviation Department, you're telling me there's going to be some upgrades to the food court.
Correct. If you go into Terminal A right now, what you'll see is a number of our food, beverage, and retail concessions had leases expire. And so we really wanted to take a fresh look at the offerings that we had in the terminal. Although we had some local concepts, we wanted to increase the number of those. So a good mix of national brands, local concepts. We needed more sit-down dining, dramatically in need of that. Entertainment, art, culture. We wanted the concession program to be a part of bringing San Antonio out to the airport. And so we put out a request for proposals and got some great bids back. And so Paradis Lagardère, an international concession firm, is in the process of adding those now. And so this January, you'll have a very large sit-down restaurant directly in front of you out of TSA, a much larger coffee venue, some great local bagels, and then by the summer, adding another very large sit-down restaurant with a local concept. And so it's going to be a dramatically different terminal.
All right, let's go to Justin on the phones. Justin, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi there. I just want to say, as a frequent traveler, I really appreciate this conversation. I'm curious, for those of us who do travel a lot, one of the best upgrades to the airport experience can be airport lounges. So I'm curious about the likelihood of expanding any. I know we only have the United Club here, so I'm curious if there are plans to expand any, either airline branded or otherwise.
All right, airport lounges, and can who would be good to talk about that?
So I can speak to that, Justin. Thank you. In fact, we are in that conversation.
So these are the fancy places.
Well, actually, they serve a lot. You'd be surprised. They serve a lot of customers. So in addition to the airline branded lounges by major airlines, what you've seen across the country is a very dramatic growth in what we call common use lounges, where you can either pay by the day or they partner with credit card companies to give you access if you have a particular type of credit card. They even partner with airlines on occasion. And we are in conversation with all of them. So two of our large carriers are very interested in a lounge. One of the things that's, I won't say slowing that conversation down, but we're being very deliberate about it, is we are in this strategic planning process. We want to make sure if the airlines are going to invest in a lounge that they get a good return on investment, and it's in a terminal that's going to be with us for a long enough time. And we're in serious discussions with a common use company about a lounge option for Terminal A. So yes, we are definitely having, and the airlines are very interested.
We got an email question from Rachel. Are there permanent areas for nursing mothers to feed change their children or to pump breast milk prior to or in between flights? This would be enormously helpful addition. Does that exist?
Yes, Rachel. In fact, it's now a federal requirement, actually, that on the secure side of any commercial airport, you need to have lactation stations. And we have one in each terminal, in Terminal A and Terminal B.
And how are there facilities to help people who are dealing with adults who are intellectually disabled and who need, you know, maybe a place to, because the airport can be an overstimulating facility. If you need a quiet place, if you have an adult with autism with you or something like that to go to?
So that's an area of opportunity for us, David. In fact, we have recently established a partnership with Gordon Hartman, the founder of Morgan's Wonderland, and he has really helped us understand what being not just accessible but ultra accessible is all about. So we're actually in design phase now for adult changing stations for a facility associated with that, and we're looking for areas where we might be able to put a quiet room that you've talked about. And there's a whole lot of other things that we could do better. You know, certainly we are compliant with the American Disabilities Act, but what we're striving to be is more than just compliant and ultra accessible.
Yeah, and with Morgan's Wonderland being a destination point, it would be great to be able to, you know, work in partnership with
right.
That.
In fact, we are about to open a new children's play area in Terminal A called the Playport. And not only are we partnering with the Duseum and others downtown to help us understand what fun things are to play, Gordon is also helping us with that to ensure that that is also ultra accessible.
Another caller, Joe. Joe, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you. And I'll make it brief because I know time is of the essence. But, you know, it's really more of a comment. I'm a frequent traveler of Delta Diamond. I'm there almost like every other week. And been living here in San Antonio a long time, and I just really have to praise the airport and the facilities and the access and parking and all those things. I'm in a lot of different cities all over the U.S., and to get the value that you get and the proximity and the services, it's really unheard of. I just don't know if people know how good they have it here, so I just, when I've been listening to the program earlier today, I just wanted to give you guys a really good shout out and appreciate everything you're doing and keep doing it.
All right, Joe, thank you for that call. Let me go to a voicemail here. This is from Bennett.
Yes, this is Bennett. Talk about a new airport for San Antonio is too little and too late. The dumb city administrations of San Antonio had plenty of opportunity to acquire the airfield down on the east side of San Antonio, which is the former air base, Brooks Air Base, with runways which were about 8,000 feet long and which would have easily handled in those days a 747 and now a 777. But the city administrations wanted to keep a little airport which was close to Alamo Heights.
All right, Bennett, thank you for that voicemail. And so, Russ, can you tell me about that reaction there?
Well, I can't speak to the, you know, the historical decisions associated with other airports. Obviously, Brooks has been become an extremely successful business in its own right, and so I can't really speak to that decision. But there was discussion as well before Bergstrom was subject to a BRAC and became Austin Bergstrom International, Austin International. The and that, you know, that was a potential that probably has passed as well, because they're expanding their own facility, so they wouldn't have a great interest in a partnership. So all I can say now is, you know, we did take a very, very deliberate look at the data in partnership with our airline partners and the FAA at this current geography. And as you, as Bennett indicated, you know, at this point, this airport will accommodate future growth, and we're going to focus on that.
All right. And let's go to a caller, Pat. And Pat, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes. I moved here in 86, and after being subjected to overhead flights of in San Antonio and St. Louis, I made up my mind I was going to get someplace where it was in between the two flight lines. So I very curious off of Jones-Mulsberger and between Jones-Mulsberger and Bocalo. It was a nice area.
All right, Pat, you're cutting in and out there. So she's complaining about noisy airlines flying over neighborhoods. Is there some spaces in San Antonio where you're not going to be able to get that?
Well, I mean, it certainly is something that we look at with the current runway footprint, as well as any kind of future demand.
Because I don't live anywhere near the airport, but there's still, you know, going to be airplanes going overhead, and they're kind of loud.
There are. And so we study, in fact, at least every 5 years, we do what's called a noise exposure map, and we look at the modeling all of the aircraft operations and what that will do to the surrounding communities. That will be a part of this master planning process as well. The FAA has decibel limits that they measure to be excess, and they put grant money to modifying houses if you're within that footprint. But suffice to say, if there is an airfield modification that puts more traffic over other neighborhoods, environmental analysis of what that will do and how we mitigate that will be a part of the process.
So let me help me understand if I got this right. And Syed, tell me if I'm wrong. So it sounds like y'all are saying that the current airport location is working really well and there is room to expand for now. However, we're looking at San Antonio's continued growth, and there may be a need for either a secondary airport or some other type of plan. Is that what we're talking about?
No. So when we did our phase one of the master plan, upon completion of that, it was established, and it was all analyzed to say that this airport is fit for purpose beyond 20 years, going all the way up to 50 years and beyond.
So this is the one, we're at this airport.
We are at this airport. We don't need to move our airport to any other location. What we do need to do is look at runway options, look at expanding terminals, increasing and enhancing efficiency of our current facilities, the terminals, runways, and we are sufficient. We don't need to really move out from the current facility.
Well, that's good. So we don't have to spend $2 billion on a new airport someplace.
No, we don't need to.
And it would be dramatically more than $2 billion for a new airport, probably.
So. Well, yeah, like how much?
So it's very difficult to say. It depends on the property acquisition and environmental issues. You know, if you're building where there's significant environmental issues, it can double the price. You know, but it's somewhere probably in the $5 to $10 billion at least, if you were going to pick a brand new airport site and start from scratch.
So, you know, good news, we don't need to do that. And people need to think about that when they say, go get a new airport.
Exactly. We've really got it. First of all, we have to convince the FAA. They won't even partner on a new airport unless you can prove to them that the existing geography won't support it. And then there's an issue of cost. If you spend an awful lot of money on an airport, which drives up airline cost, it does a couple of things. It drives ticket cost up, or it may motivate airlines to fly out of another airport. We're deregulated in the industry, and they get to decide.
So keeping the airport we have now, maximizing its efficiencies, not only saves money for taxpayers, but also makes the city more competitive.
Exactly.
So price-wise, it's a deal for everyone that uses the airport.
Yes, that's the way we see it, and currently that's the way the airlines see it as well.
And still, though you are talking to individuals. You have another community engagement meeting that's tomorrow at the Palo Alto College, right?
Correct. We've got upwards of 40 different face-to-face interactions, and that number is growing, and those are readily available. And everything from a very small open house to 400 or 500 people in a neighborhood association and everything in between. And so we encourage the community to get out and help us.
All right. Russ Handy is the aviation director for the City of San Antonio Aviation Department. Syed Medid is the chief strategist and development officer for the San Antonio Airport System. Thank you all so much for giving us an update on the airport. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia, and Jan Ross Piedad. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.